Hey everyone, welcome. It's Lime Less Live More, and we are in the middle of our summer open house for our course series. This is Brent Martin and Dana Walsh. And so some of you have been with us for several years, and others might be brand new to us. And just to give you a little background, Dana Walsh was featured in the documentary Under Our Skin and recently in Emergence. She's been a patient, Lyme patient for years, and now we met a couple years ago and through a mutual friend, and we've come together. We decided, you know what, we learned all these things just trying to self-care and figure it out as we go through our own treatment. I had Lyme for 10 years, both of us over 10 years each. And what are all those little things that we did to really help us recover outside of the doctor's visits, outside of the antibiotics and the herbs and those protocols? What were all those other things? And that's where we say we decided to come together to create Lyme Less, Live More, to really bring it all to light and share that information with you guys. So today we have with us Mark Weil from Core Care Center. He's got practices in both San Francisco and New York, and he lectures to doctors worldwide. And he's also one of our faculty members of our cleanses that we do. So we have a lot going on at Lyme Less, Live More. We'll talk more about that. This call will have an open Q&A for this call toward the end. We're going to go through a lot of information first. So thanks, everyone, for being with us today. And we're going to get started. So first, Dana, hey, how's it going?
Hi, Mark. Hi, Brent. Welcome,
hi, Dana.
Everyone.
Hi, Brent.
Hey,
it's great to hear you, Mark. You know, we got accustomed to doing these calls in our 6-week cleanse we just finished up, and I gotta say, I've been missing them. You know, I think a lot of our people have been missing them too. So thank you for showing up once again for us. Lyme Less, Live More.
You're welcome. I'm back here, and I'm once again back in New York. last calls I did with you guys, I was in New York.
Incredible. The amount of travel you do, and stay well. I mean, maybe that's important to say to the audience right now that, Mark, you, maybe a little bit of your background.
Sure.
You've come a long way with your own health.
I mean, when I was in college is when I was still having problems. I mean, I passed a kidney stone as a freshman, and I was never overweight. I was too skinny, and I passed a kidney stone because all of high school, I'm in 64. All of high school, I was on tetracycline 3 times a day for acne. And nobody said back then that that's going to make you constipated, but I didn't even know that was called constipation. I just went to the bathroom twice a week, whether I needed to or not. And
twice a week?
You know, twice a week. It was so much fun, trust me. It was not good. So literally, I passed the kidney stone because I was full of fecal matter. I was full of shit. And then I had hemorrhoid surgery when I was in law school, which was a lot of fun, walking to law school carrying your plastic donut to sit on. You know, law school is competitive enough, but when you walk in with a plastic donut and you sit on it, people look at you like, oh, we're going to give you a hard time. You know, it's like, it's not fun. So, yeah, when I started to get well, I got well out of necessity because back then the doctors were, you know, saying, well, when you get another hemorrhoid, we'll do more surgery. And, of course, I got another hemorrhoid because when you're only shitting twice a week, it's really painful. And then when I got my second hemorrhoid, and I was like, I'm not going to have surgery again. This is too much. That's when I started reading. I read Pavo Arola, How to Get Well, and I started down the road of changing my life. And ever since then, my life has gotten better and better. And the other thing you've alluded to, Dana, is when I was a freshman in high school, in college, freshman and sophomore, I got mono 2 years in a row, and I was basically exhausted the whole time. We'd now call that chronic fatigue, but that's because I was on tetracycline all of high school, and then when I got to college, I had to work my way through college, and I couldn't afford the tetracycline. So I stopped it, and guess what happened? My immune system, which wasn't existent, crashed completely, and I had swollen glands all the time. So that's what I got myself out of all that by learning. Back then, you just had to read books, and occasionally you could meet people. And I met Bernard Jensen, and he read my irises.
That's a pretty big deal.
And told me, oh, my God, it transformed my life. I give him credit for why I'm alive today. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here.
He's the godfather. Yeah, he's the godfather
for me, he was my father. He's the one that turned me on to all the stuff. Mm. So if I hadn't met him, I would have probably finished law school and been a lawyer, and I'm sure the stress would have killed me a long time ago.
Wow, so we're grateful for all these, all the ones that came before. So now you have a thriving practice in New York and in San Francisco, and I have been a client patient of yours for coming on, oh my gosh, I guess we met in 2002 or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, I know you see a lot of Lyme patients. That's Brent's kids. it's amazing the timing, you know, like they're perfectly quiet a half hour before the call and then they just somehow know. It's okay. So anyway, I know you
I thought I had it on mute. Go ahead.
So I know you see a lot of Lyme and chronically ill, and you certainly helped me. I mean, I've not met anyone that can get the body into balance like you can. It's just, it's like an incredible, incredible gift you have. And I know you believe and teach and practice in a way that is not to push the body too hard, you know, i.e. herxing. I know herxing isn't something that you necessarily agree with. Pushing off.
The reason I don't, Dana, is because I did it to myself many times.
Yeah. Right.
I hit the wall so many times working with so many people that were good people. And then I decided that if I hurt, it's very hard to do daily life. And I like that balance between doing my daily life. You know, somebody can go to a retreat and do nothing, or somebody's there taking care of them, and they need to get through stuff. I have some people that have fatal illnesses, cancer, and they need someone to take care of them, and they're going to push it. But that's a very unique set of circumstances where someone doesn't need to work. They've got someone providing food. They've got someone giving them support stuff. You know, that's a small number of people.
So you're saying, you know, if you're in it, I mean, of course, we've all been in situations where it's you have to push it. You have to push the antibiotics hard. Maybe because it's become an acute situation, but it's not, we haven't seen it's a long-term strategy to get, recover your health, to get completely well. I mean, it's everything you've been teaching me for 12 years is you got to change the terrain, and now it's so much of the talk is like we have to fix our guts and switch the microbiome into a healthy healthy terrain where it's inhospitable for the bugs. That's the long-term goal and plan. In the meantime, we're taking
it's a plan that almost, I try to make it so anyone could maintain it,
right,
so that they can find a way to do their life, deal with their kids, deal with their loved ones, you know, do some shopping. I mean, it's like my goal is to create a plan that you can execute or anyone can execute on a daily basis without feeling like they're being paralyzed.
And something, you mean paralyzed by the heavy, heavy treatments. Once again,
yeah.
I mean, the heavy treatments can be life-saving and are important, but we've discovered in our cleanses, particularly, is people doing the most heavy treatments. We don't even understand how people get out of bed and walk around. Some people don't. With the amount of drugs and either pain pills or, you know, the basic body functions aren't working under those conditions. So we're just amazed that people taking that kind of therapy are not doing the basic things to sustain the body, i.e. hydration, something you drive home to us, Mark. These are the things that you really brought to us in our cleanses. The importance of hydration, the absolutely critical piece of blood sugar, and I am so guilty of not maintaining that, and also obviously detox, meaning eliminating those toxins regularly. So, you know, one of the things we wanted to talk about in this call is symptoms. And you and I discussed this earlier. Symptoms really come from maybe one of three things or all three things, where the bugs are growing, it's in a growth phase, the bugs are dying off, or you're detoxing, or both, or all three are happening at the same time. So
that's accurate.
So it's so interesting too, and Brent and I have talked about this in other interviews. There's a picture that we have in our minds when we have Lyme disease or co-infections and mold, everything, you know, the stacking of it all, where our bodies are being eaten. We're kind of being eaten by these bugs. And it's like they have little teeth, you know, like when my joints hurt, it used to be like, oh, they're eating my tissue. They're like, you know, it's just like, but let's just kind of change that picture a little bit. I think it's really important to change that picture where the microbes exist, they're there, they're replicating whatever is happening, but it's not the bugs necessarily as much as it's their byproducts and their waste either dying off or their waste living that is causing the inflammation that is causing the symptoms. Is that fair to say?
That's very accurate, Dina.
So I know one of the biggest byproducts Dr. Jernigan talks about a lot is ammonia. So what are some of the effects of ammonia? I mean, you have too much ammonia in your body. How do you feel?
No, you're probably going to have headaches. You're going to probably not think clearly. You're going to probably have joint aches. But remember, ammonia is just, quote, unquote, nitrogenous waste. It's urine. So if we can get your kidneys and liver to work better and excrete more and make sure you increase hydration, all the stuff I always talk about, and we slow down the replication, the ammonia can go down. Dana, we've had that go down in you in 4 or 5 days or 4 or 5 hours. You know,
yeah.
If you can suddenly
take
people.
Sometimes 15 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, it can. If somebody's chronically ill, I would get it down in less than half a day. But with someone that's not really ill, I mean, not hospitalized or not, you know, in bed all the time, sometimes you get it down in 15 minutes, literally.
So
yeah.
One of the key pieces that you talk about in our core series and a lot in our cleanses is the lymph system and how integral a clear, flowing, moving lymph system is to getting well. So why is that? I know this is a big subject, but let's just do a quick review on that. So when okay, there we are. We've got the mother load of microbes, and they're just pumping out toxins all day long. What's happening? So our sewers, and then we want to kill them off. So we're adding some heavy antibiotics or herbs or whatever. And if we're not excreting that waste, this is what you talk about in your talk, what happens? The lymph system starts to back up and shut down.
Right. It's very simple. I think I can say this in less than a minute because I've done it with so many people. Every time you want to kill anything, you have dead microbes, and you have all the tissue that's surrounding that. You have to poop and pee it out. That's really what it comes down to. If you don't poop and pee it out, then it's going to now stink. So imagine if you went to the bathroom and had a large bowel movement and you didn't flush the toilet. You came back in an hour later and it really smelled. Well, we're all walking around with waste in our body. There isn't a human being that doesn't have it. When it increases, you know, when you kill more stuff with whatever tools you use, doesn't matter, now you need to excrete more. But people think that excreting is just pooping and peeing, but they forgot that all the waste will run through the lymph system before it goes to the kidneys and before it goes to the bowels. And by definition, if you've been sick, your lymph system has to have been compromised. I'm not saying cancer. I'm not saying lymphoma. I'm not saying go to the hospital. I say your sewer is slower. That's all I'm saying. And when you can find ways, whatever works for you, when you find ways to make the sewer work better, then a lot of the aches, a lot of what people call symptoms go away almost immediately. And when we've talked about this in past talks where people do things to empty the sewer and their pain, their headache, their nausea, all those symptoms literally will disappear within minutes. And they'll say, why did the bugs stop biting? And it wasn't the bugs. It was the sewer filling up. And for purposes of people that haven't heard me, you just have to think of a pimple. You have it. When we were all teenagers, most of us had a pimple. And if you didn't have a mirror, you would think that thing is going to be the size of like a quarter on your face or wherever it is. And you go look in the mirror, and it's the size maybe of the tip of a pencil. But when you have, and when you squeeze that out, it would become a white, milky fluid if it was one that was ready to pop. But it would hurt like hell. A pimple always hurt because it stretches the receptors, the nerves, on the skin. So imagine if a little pimple like that hurts. Imagine what all this lymph, Dana, you've had it in your armpit, your axilla. People have it everywhere, and they forget that when they say they ache in their joints, the most exciting and good news for me is, remember, the joints are where the larger lymph glands are, so that means if we can just get you to dilute it and pump it out, most of your symptoms go away relatively quickly, in well under a day.
That's so interesting.
Does that explain it well?
Yes, of course, and this is stuff we talked about in the interview, and I love you refreshing us on it again. And I think it's so important. I mean, my thing, you know, I talked about in the movie was pain, just ridiculous all day, every day pain. And it is fascinating when you get that lymph system moving. Let's say you have eye pain and jaw pain and joint pain all over. It just is amazing that it can move. You know, I'm always fascinated that I do an enema and my eye pain's better. It's like, huh, wait a second, it's all connected. So I think that's a really, really important piece. And we do talk about a lot of ways to detox. Obviously, enemas are a big thing that you teach, Mark, colonics.
But I'm also really willing to have people drink a lot of fluid, good quality water. I'm also really like a Fuqua exercise because that pumps, that's a mechanical pump for the lymph system. But when I've talked to some of your Lyme people, they're too tired to exercise. So I say just do a cross-crawl motion standing in your living room or bedroom. You don't have to get outside, and you don't have to deal with the stress of the environment. You can just do the little walking cross-crawl in your bedroom. That will move the lymph.
Swing cross-crawl? It's when you swing your arms?
Yeah, if your left arm goes out, your right leg's going out. It's the way people walk when they're healthy. And it resets the nervous system and pumps the lymph.
Yeah, I mean, when we were doing, you know, some intensive work here on Lyme, Less, Live More, and I was at the computer most of the day, I'd just do laps around my living room, just cross-crawl, and then when Brent was here, we'd get up, we'd just start pumping, you know, just little movements can do so much. So
5 minutes. So you don't have to do 20, 30. This is not about raising your heart rate. This is about keeping that system functioning at an optimal level for you.
Yeah. And there's something that's really come up a lot in our cleanses as well. It's really getting down to what is in that lymph system. Those toxins are very, very acidic, and we hear a lot about being too acid. But what are the things that actually neutralize, break down when we're too acidic, and how do we replenish?
Well, obviously, that's why we encourage people to do fruits and vegetables, and I'm going to lean on vegetables because if I say fruits, everybody wants the sweet stuff. So you want alkaline foods, and the only alkaline foods are fresh fruits and vegetables. You can get it in supplements. I'm not saying you can't get it in supplements, and I recommend them a lot because people can't, they don't have the energy to go shopping every day or every other day, and a lot of people don't have the energy to cook. So I understand that. So the other thing is the minerals are the primary. B vitamins are very important. All things are important, but minerals are one of your primary buffers of acids. And so if you keep your mineral levels high, you're
okay. And when you say that again, because minerals, fruits and vegetables, we know we need way more. Okay, but the minerals in the vegetables are what we're talking about. The concentration
Correct.
Of minerals in vegetables actually buffers the acids. That's a really good
Clearly.
Picture to have because, you know, you've always given me calcium lactate and trace minerals, and like, and I have all this pain. I'm like, oh, I just think I'm doing that as like a preventative or whatever. I always think of bones or, you know, bone, but it's actually so surprising how it shifts the pain. So what you're saying
is... immediately, because, yeah, because you also are shifting the pH with that, and then the replication slows down or stops. So just think of it, I've done this analogy before, and for people that watch my video on lymph on my website, you'll see it. That's markwowhealth.com. That's my teaching website where I teach mostly chiropractors and naturopaths, but I've got videos there that you can watch, and I have a pretty good one on the lymph system. And I remind people, I use my cats because my cats never went to a biochemistry class. My cats will never drink standing water. You know, you put water in the bowl, right when you put it in, they'll drink it. But if it's been sitting there for a while, they won't do it. They'll follow me upstairs, and they're going to hop in the tub and sit there with that expectant look like, okay, you can run some fresh water? And it's like, I do it. Well, the reason they won't do it, now they'll eat mice, they'll eat insects, they'll eat anything they can catch, geckos. But so that means they can clearly, their hydrochloric acid does it. But standing water breeds biofilms, pathogens. And so if a cat just goes, no, I don't want that standing water, because you see, and I can look at the bowl, and when I see that little film on the water, I'm like, oh, cats aren't going to drink that. So you think about it. When standing fluids build up, biofilms build and things grow. That's going to be highly acidic. When you have the minerals, like the Beeler's broth is one of your best recommendations. When you have the high mineral content vegetable soups and vegetables, then your body buffers all that, and it's harder for those things to create babies, to replicate. That's why the minerals work so well. It changes the chemistry immediately.
Immediately. So that's, again, so when you're taking a handful of calcium or whatever minerals you need, it can be, 10 minutes later gone from burning pain, acidic pain, to buffered and clear. The other thing you talked about when you're in an acidic situation is the B vitamins and enzymes get used up trying to deal with that waste.
Yep.
So if your B vitamins and enzymes are being and minerals are being used up to deal with that waste, then you don't have available B vitamins for energy, and you don't have enzymes available
for digestion.
Food.
So here you are, you're eating the perfect meal, and you've gone out of your way to get nothing but good food, and you're chewing thoroughly, and you're hydrating appropriately. But if your body got too acidic, and your body says, so let's say you were in a lot of pain before you had your meal, and your body's like, I need all those nice employees, the B vitamins, the minerals, the enzymes, to go to work and clean up all this waste. And the body says, okay, your guys are going there, or girls. And those nutrients go there, and then you put this nice meal in, and you can't fire up the Krebs cycle or citric acid cycle or increase your ATP, whatever words make sense to you. And remember, ATP, Krebs cycle, needs B vitamins to run it. It needs minerals to run it. So if you've depleted it, and it needs enzymes to help break it down. So if you are low on those because your body is doing another job that's important, then you're going to say, well, I ate really healthy food and I still feel terrible. I'm bloated and I don't feel good and my energy went down. I'm like, well, if your nutrients aren't at a high enough level to do two or three or four jobs, it's going to let one job go. And if it lets the job of digestion go, now you've created more waste and the cycle repeats.
Dear Lord, now what? So you need to supplement with the B vitamins, the minerals, and, of course, enzymes. So that's until you can get your...
I think people need that on a regular basis because it's very hard for even me. When I'm in New York, I go to Organic Avenue and I get fresh juices. I've got Juice Press around the corner. I can get fresh juices anytime I want. But it's hard, especially when I'm busy, to eat enough things that have enough enzymes to break down my food. I take supplements because I'm expecting a lot of output from my body, so I better put in the input. Well, people that are fighting chronic disease, their output is really high. Their body's always trying to reestablish homeostasis. That is a lot of work.
Yes, it's a lot of work. Yes. So let's just recap a little bit. Some of the things that you can do when you're symptomatic, some of the basic things is obviously hydrate, because that's going to get everything moving. You talk about blood sugar, and you try to drive that home that, look, people are totally lost in the food situation with Lyme, like what to eat. You always say, just eat, because as soon as, please explain what happens when our blood sugar drops. When we're dealing with Lyme disease.
Well, when you're dealing with anything, hey, you can be relatively healthy like I am, and when my blood sugar drops, for everyone, we don't produce enzymes, our immune system turns down, our digestive system turns down, all of our body is saying going on, where it's like, that's why I use Starship Enterprise for people. It's like everything's going to the shields. You know, you keep basic life support going, and the rest of the body is saying, you know what, we know what it's like. Everyone out there that's had low blood sugar gets to the place where it's like, look, I just got to put one foot in front of the other and get home and eat some food, and about an hour later I might feel better. You know, you don't want to be driving a car and trying to go through rush hour traffic. You don't want to be dealing with your kids when they're tired, when your blood sugar's down. You don't want to be trying to work and think when you got a headache and you're barely able to stand on your feet. So your body starts shutting down non-essential functions. And the immune system will be one of the first things to go down.
It's so amazing, too, because when you say that, and the experience I've had, and I know Brent, too, when the blood sugar drops, my pain goes up so high. So, and it could be like a good meal away from feeling better. So when that's actually the immune system dropping, and whatever things I have in there that are ready to grow or, you know, take over, they do when I'm not basically, I don't know how I'm trying to explain this, but when I'm not there, when I don't have blood sugar and my immune system's not kicking them back. So hydrate, blood sugar, keep your minerals, B vitamins, all these things a lot of people know, but they kind of skip over. You know, another thing that's come up, so we talked about being acidic and not having the enzymes to break down food. Well, people get totally lost in the food situation, and we've heard people in our cleanses say, I feel like I'm in a food prison, or I have food fear, because they're often reacting to almost every food. And now this is like an entirely other call, and we can go in depth at this, but can we just talk quickly about what's happening when someone's reacting to a food?
Okay, well, there could be, I would say there's three likelihoods. Number one, you could truly be allergic to that food. I find that people who've been chronically ill think they're allergic to a lot of foods, but in most cases, that's not the true definition of an allergy. I generally, given that I tell people not to have wheat, dairy, corn, soy, or sugar, and I mean not. That means it's not like I get to have it every other week. When I tell people, generally,
except
if you want to feel better, cut out. Well, yeah, that's right, but that's a fermented product. That makes it digest.
Yes.
Thank you for clarifying. Yeah, but I tell people, if you cut out those things, those are the 90% of the allergens. Those are the much higher likelihood. But a lot of people say, oh, I think I'm allergic to quinoa now because I blew up and I had gas. I think I'm allergic to kale because da-da-da-da-da. In most cases, those foods are doing the one thing that you always want a food to do, which is they're acting, they have high fiber, and the fiber is moving the stuff out of your gut. So whether you've done enemas or colonics or cleanses or whatever, the reason we eat high fiber is because it does act as a broom. It does cleanse things effectively, thank goodness. And when you're moving something that's been old or stuck or putrid, you might get a symptom. And you might say, well, see, that means that kale's bad for me. Like, maybe not, but it might tell you, it's like, oh, you need to clean your colon out, however you want to do it. I don't care how you do it. So people say, I'm allergic, and I'm like, well, maybe you're not. Maybe you're just moving stuff out. And the other thing it may be doing is it may be changing the chemistry enough, thank goodness, depending on what you're eating and how you're doing it. And it may be pushing you into a bit of a cleanse which includes some detox. So even if your colon was working and you change your pH enough and your body says, oh, you really need to get all this stuff out, it's sort of what I describe to people is, you, let's say you suddenly live on juices and nothing but vegetables and Beeler's broth, and suddenly it's like every cell says, I'm getting rid of all these toxins. Oh, thank goodness you finally freed me up, and the doors open and all the waste comes out. Oh, and by the way, it was too much for your system to get rid of. And so you say, I'm reacting. I'm doing a cleanse and I feel worse than I've ever felt before. It's like, no, you're doing a cleanse and you opened up all the cells and the cells released all the waste, but you must plan. If you're going to do that, you must plan on assisting them. And an example, it's not the only one, but an example was when people go to Gerson with a stage 4 cancer, the Gerson Institute, and they do 16 glasses of fresh vegetable juice a day and 2 or 3 coffee enemas a day. If they're going to release holy hell in their body, they better get it out. You can't just release things and then say to your body, I hope it comes out. So that's where people tend to react, and they think that, well, it was this healthy food, and it's like, well, maybe it's just the clogged sewer.
So I love what you say, that food, obviously if you're choosing the good foods, right, the organic, the non-GMOs, the produce, etc. I love when you say the food is actually doing its job. So the kale's going in, a little scrub brush trying to clean your colon, offering you more vitamins so you can, your immune system kicks in. You know, all these beautiful things happen. And sometimes it's a little too much. I think what we can offer people is, like, eat the good foods, but eat smaller doses at a time. You know, some people are so used to processed food, as soon as they start eating fruits and vegetables, they feel really sick. It's kind of amazing that
they will. A lot of them do.
Yeah.
They may have horrible, they may have horrible gas for months. That's why I say, well, if you want to get through that, do your enemas, do colonics, do something to get it out faster.
You know, and it's, so we've had a lot of people talking about, there's so many different diets that people can go on with Lyme. You know, there's GAPs, there's specific carbohydrate, there's low FODMAPs, there's low oxalates, there's autoimmune paleo. I mean, it's just, the list goes on. And there are powerful compounds in food. But what you're saying is, it's not necessarily the oxalates that moment that you're reacting to. It's most likely some pathogen or their byproducts in your colon that are getting disrupted. And I use the example of, for myself, an avocado. It's a perfectly benign food most of the time. And I eat it and my mouth burns like crazy. My mouth is totally burned.
And theoretically, it's anti-inflammatory because it's got good fats. So it shouldn't do that, theoretically,
fats,
right?
Right. And it's just, it's all day paleo, people on the good fat avocado, and I eat it, I'm like, why is my mouth burning? Well, I was pretty toxic, I was pretty stressed out, and I started doing the hydration and eating more regularly, and I went back to, see, so most people would say, oh my God, I'm allergic to avocados completely. I went back a week later. I don't have fear. I just go back a week later when I'm feeling better, and I tried the avocado, and it was great. So to your point, Mark, it's not always that you're allergic to that food. And I think I really want to pull people out of the food fear. And so if, let's say, you have your mouth burns, you get heart palpitation, whatever you react to a food, you give it a couple days, 3 to 5 days, clean up, rotate the foods, and then go back to it in a small amount and see how you do. Is that fair to say?
Correct.
Okay.
And sometimes they don't even have to wait 3 to 5 days. If they have a tool or set of tools to clean out their body, sometimes it really is just, I would take that as, oh, that means I must be a little more toxic than I think, right? We can wait for all kinds of signs. We can have bad breath, bad body odor, bad odor to our stool, bad odor to the gas. We could have all those kinds of things that would tell us, oh, gee, we're out of balance. But the easier one is, I just ate a really healthy meal and I blew up like crazy. So, you know what, long before I have dog breath and long before nobody can walk in the bathroom after I've gone there, that's like, you know what, I think I need to clean out a little more because this food normally sits really well. it's telling me my body's off. So you could handle it. You don't have to wait 3 days, because imagine if you're waiting 3 days and you're still not shitting and you're still not hydrating enough and you're still not flushing your body. You say, well, I followed the rule. I waited 3 days and I ate it. Now I feel terrible again. So it must be I'm allergic. It's like, did you eliminate well? That's going to be the question. So use it as an indicator.
I love it. These are such great points. This is such great points because, I mean, there's such light being shown on food intolerances now more than ever. A lot of other speakers out there, and it's really important. Food intolerances are real. It causes more inflammation. It's a real problem. But this group in particular, with, you know, Lyme, chronic illness, you know, people with detox issues, you're eating the better foods. You might not be having a tolerant reaction. When you're saying the sewer's backed up, I mean, these healthier foods are triggering your detox to start working better. But to Mark's point, we all need that. And that's why we want some more vegetables. That's why we got to eat those. But, you know, why one day you might react poorly, why not the next? How are you eliminating? And are you doing the enemas? Are you getting the colonics done? How are you cleansing the colon to get those foods are triggering the detox? You're dumping more toxins. You have to get it out. This is such a huge piece of the puzzle that no one's really talking about. I mean, you are. We are.
I'd like to tell you a story to illustrate this. I have a patient that is in her early 40s who was a very serious macrobiotic chef. She still is, but she cooked for Michio Kushi, which is like, you know, you're cooking for the man. She's eaten that way for well over 10 years, and her cooking makes anything I do look like a joke. She's been eating well for 20 years. But in Chinese medicine and in macrobiotics, I was macrobiotic heavily, they don't have a thing about, you know, working with the colon, and they clearly don't like to take a lot of herbs. So she was doing macrobiotics seriously. You don't do it much more seriously. I've never met anyone that did it more seriously than her. But she wasn't having good bowel movements, and she had a lot of symptoms that got better with macrobiotics, but not away. And she had such a badly swollen foot and leg that she couldn't wear a shoe, and she's a small person. She's active. She's been active her whole life, but her foot would be swollen. I started to get her to do enemas, and, you know, the kind of three-hour enemas where you work at it. I'm not telling everyone to do this. I'm not saying this for anyone listening that you got to go do a three-hour enema. You have to watch my videos, and that is a graduate-level process. If you haven't done the, you know, kindergarten and first grade, you don't even want to go near that. But she was doing it, and on her 14th time of doing three-hour enemas, doing them about once a week, she got out something that was dark and rubbery. And when I say that stuff builds up on the colon wall and your colon wall really is not empty, she got out stuff every time when she was doing them. She was getting out nasty stuff, and the smell and the burn was really bad. And then she gets out something really bad on the 14th time of doing this. And then after that, she starts having two bowel movements a day. She's never had two bowel movements a day. It's like she took the stuff that was caked on the walls of the colon off, and her peristalsis started to finally reset. You can't eat better than this woman. You can't have more intentions. She was spiritual about her food. She was eating nothing but good food, but it had backed up over many years. So if that can happen to somebody like that, imagine what's happening with your Lyme people, because they're toxic. They've also had antibiotics that makes it hard to digest. So there's stuff that's built up in everyone. That's an example of how stuff builds up and you don't know that it's there.
Right. So food is important, but it's not the whole piece. And again, food, you're normally reacting to the byproducts of the bugs in your body. A perfect example of that is the oxalates we talk about. We did an interview with Donna Gates, and she talks about eating too many oxalates when you have candida. Candida puts out oxalates. So when you eat high oxalate foods like spinach, you know, and the raw spinach, like green smoothies, you're adding to your oxalate load. And a normal healthy person can manage that, but because you have candida producing so much of it, you can't handle it as well. So again, it's just these critters causing all the problems. And it's just about flushing away their homes, if you look at it like that, just flushing away their homes, whether it's the hydration and keeping your blood sugar up so your immune system is stable, the minerals, the B vitamins, enzymes, probably at every meal.
You don't miss one.
And I think what's so interesting is this fear that comes up around food, because there's some reaction. Most people have bloating or whatever, up to heart palpitations and headaches and sinus problems. But what happens, we talked about this a bit before, when you have fear going into eating your food, you're screwed, because
you're
shutting it down.
You're shutting down digestion, yeah. Sure. Well, I want to do anything to keep people's fight or flight mechanism turned down. That's my goal, is to keep that as low as possible. So that means fear over what food you're eating, whether I chewed it enough, whether I cooked it enough, whether I food combined it enough, whether I did the water in advance enough. I would like people to not be in fight or flight, because the more they're in fight or flight, everything that functions normally stops functioning normally. So I would much rather, Dana, I've told you this many times, I'd rather you just eat some food and maintain your blood sugar, because when your blood sugar goes down, you go into automatic fight or flight. Everyone does. So I'd much rather people keep their blood sugar up, worry less about the food. I mean, obviously, I want people to eat really healthy. But people, after a while, I've had many people who are eating healthy, and they're like, well, maybe I shouldn't have had the peppers with the broccoli, and they worry about every little thing, and that makes their digestion, they produce less enzymes, they paralyze their digestion, make it less effective. And I don't want anyone to be going to all the work that your people are going to and then living in fear and making it less effective.
Right, so the fear, you produce cortisol, you lose your enzymes, everything shuts down. So
And remember, those stress hormones will eat up the B vitamins in seconds. They'll deplete your reserves. What happens when you're stressed? If you're stressed enough, you get shaky. I mean, if you hear a car's brakes and there's a screech and you think, oh my God, I almost got hit, you can be shaky in seconds, right? You know, so that's what stress hormones can do. They can deplete everything in your reserve account in a second for anyone.
So for someone that does have reactions, whether it's bloating or different things, what do we offer here? One of the first things I know we talk about a lot in our cleanses is don't skip over chewing. So even a less than optimal food, if you're chewing it really, 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 really well, your body can manage it. Is that fair to say?
Much better. It may not be perfect, but it's a whole lot better than not doing it. Yes.
So, again, we talked about, okay, you have a reaction to a food. You know that it's usually something in your colon. Do your best to flush, hydrate. Maybe move on to another food if you try it again and you're still reacting, but keep rotating. That's one of the reasons we do seasonal cleanses, because we're always rotating food.
Uh-huh.
And one thing we didn't talk about here, but it's something we really get into in our cleanses, is that fruits and vegetables, juices and all that can be really great for someone that can handle it. This gets a little more advanced, but if you run terribly cold, raw fruits and vegetables and juices may not be the optimal thing for you, because they can cool the body down. But that's another.
They will cool the body down, and if you get too cold, you go into fight or flight, and we're back to the same problem.
Right. So it's all about finding that balance. But we're moving into different seasons, so we can, when it's warmer, we can have more of those juices, et cetera.
It's amazing how complicated food can be, but at the end of the day, we're really just managing both ends, right? We're managing what we're putting in our mouth and making sure everything on the other end is coming out, and we're keeping the pipes clean. And, as long as we're keeping those two things in check, then that's it. It's like it can be that simple. You know, you get into the details, it gets complicated, but in the big picture, it can be that simple, too. We don't have to worry about it. It's like, is this a healthy, whole food? You know, oh, this food might increase my detox because it's a little bit more heavy in the vegetables, you know, and then let me make sure that no matter what, we got to make sure the other end, we're keeping it clean, keeping it all flowing.
Yeah, and I'm sure.
And that's it. And the pain starts going away. The energy goes up. The pain goes down. I mean, that's just how it works. And the body's set up that way.
And we've seen.
Well, Brett, I think what you just said, and you know, Dana's told me this, and I haven't talked to you. She said, you know, you've had migraines off and on in the past, and I put you on a protocol, and when you doubled up and tripled up on it, she said your migraines started to go down. Well, you just didn't have enough reserves, you didn't have enough nutrients to support the functions. That's all. Things literally can go away overnight.
And
really
within the most revealing to me, the most revealing thing to me is my migraine connection to my liver. And that's just all part of getting everything flowing, detox flowing. The more I support my liver, the more my migraines, they just go away. They're gone. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, let's be really clear here. That's when you say a protocol, Mark, you weren't talking about treating Brent's Lyme. You were talking about supporting his liver with those.
And his
and
the rest of his digestion and maintaining his blood sugar and his electrolytes. It was basic stuff.
Right. That's that's what's so brilliant here. It's just.
It really is. And it's going away from, you know, yes, we're on Lyme protocols, you know, what we're dealing with the Lyme, but everything else that has to support that, specifically around the detox, you know, when we're working, and that's really something even beyond after we finished our Lyme protocols. You know, it's been years since I've been on protocol. I haven't needed it, but I have to keep doing the detox. I have to keep eating healthy. I have to keep doing these self-care things to keep feeling better because my body's still just a little bit of a wreck, and it's just I have to stay on top of it, and that's okay. It's okay. It's what I should be doing forever. And if I wasn't doing it and I was feeling so-called like a normal person okay, I mean, and I keep eating like crap all the time, then it's just going to develop into another illness. So here I am. I stay a little bit more on top of it than a normal person. But here I am also being preventative, and I'm guaranteed a more healthy life going forward. Things that go ahead.
Brent, you said it really well. This is what I need to do. I'm relatively healthy compared to you guys know how hard I tend to push it. And I push it really hard just because I like to live life. Look, when you're 20 and 21 and you feel terrible and you can't do what everybody else is doing, you start looking at life and going, this sucks. I mean, it was really hard on me to feel terrible and have no energy when I was younger. So I like the fact that I can do more than most people, not because I'm trying to prove anything. It's because I like life. But if I'm going to go, sorry for the phrase, but if I'm going to go balls to the wall and take last Saturday or two Saturdays ago, I took a dance class at early in the morning, and then I did a three-hour dance class with Zumba right after that. You know, 4 hours of dance at 64. And, you know, I'm hydrating more than you would ever hydrate. I'm taking supplements. I'm eating well. And I can keep doing that because I figure – and nobody wants to think this way. They somehow think they're going to get to a place where now that I've taken care of myself, I've got this reserve account, because maybe most people in their 20s and 30s could go drink, get drunk, do all this stuff, and their body would get up the next day. My body never did that. So I just learned, if I take care of it, I can go flat out all the way. So I try and take care of it every day. It's not like I suddenly get a break because I had a good day yesterday.
Exactly. Yep. And I think, you know, as Brent was saying, he takes care of himself now. I mean, we all do. We all, when you have a chronic illness, you have to when you're in the illness. And then the years to follow, let's say you're in remission, quote unquote, there's so much fallout that needs to be cleared out. And that's going to take many, many years. And then maintaining a level of health in this environment that we're living in is very intense. So I think, as you both said, it's like we have to do this every day, and we have to fall in love with it, because we're going to fall in love with feeling good and knowing that feeling good, and we keep saying this, feeling good and feeling better is so close. It's so close. I mean, I think when we are in so much pain, we just get in our heads like, this is forever and I'm never going to get out. But it actually is, with a few tweaks, some basic things, moving, nutrition restored, you're feeling better. Just, I mean, it could be hours, as you said. You said so well.
Yeah, and Dana, sometimes you joke, you say, you know, you're like, I'm like 2 and 3 meals away from feeling amazing right now. You know, mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just a few things, like a 1 enema away from feeling amazing. Sometimes it's just a couple things you have to do.
I'm two nights of solid sleep away from feeling amazing. Like, it's sometimes it's like that. You know, these free medicine is so wonderful. And Mark, I want to talk briefly about what you just mentioned. You love living life, and you love Zumba. You fell in love with Zumba. You knew you needed exercise, and you took a Zumba class, and you fell in love with it. And I think it's so great. So I want to talk about, before we finish this call, about what happens to your body when you're doing what you love. When you're in that.
Oh, you're getting to my favorite topic, which is oxytocin.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I figured this out when I was going through a difficult period of my life, that I was somewhat I have a very, very good, very alternative MD psychiatrist therapist whose daughter runs Saima's operation. He and his wife, he's an elderly Jewish man. He and his wife were saved by Muktananda, so they're not a normal psychiatrist. And he was working with me on some stuff that was very difficult for me, and I was really depressed. And he was saying, well, if you stay this depressed, you know, we got to put you on meds, and he doesn't put people on meds. And I was like, you know what, I think I can fix this. And I went back, and I was muscle testing. And I was checking my oxytocin, and it was in the floor. I had no oxytocin. And then I started spending time figuring out what would raise it, which is the same stuff I'm already telling you. It's all the same stuff I'm telling you. I had to come up with my combination for my body, and I would take the supplements, and within 20 minutes, it was like, oh, I'm fine. The whole world looks totally different. And I started doing this with people that I was working with, people that had been chronically depressed, and I started elevating oxytocin because it's a primary hormone that when you balance that out, your serotonin dopamine levels balance out, your norepinephrine, all of the stress hormones start to go down. And I figured out, you know, you can get it by getting a massage. You can get it by playing with your animals. Mothers clearly have it with babies. Not all mothers, not all babies. There's always exceptions. You can get it by making love. Yes, you can get some by chocolate. But really, it's nutrients. And when I balanced up my oxytocin, the world felt like a different place. And you can get it by doing any joyful behavior, anything that if it crocheting, I don't care what it is, if it's going for a run, if it's doing yoga, if it's chanting to your favorite meditation thing, there's so many ways to increase oxytocin. And I spent a lot of time studying that. And now I support anyone to do anything that makes them feel better. It can be prayer. There's no right way to do it, but you do need the nutrients. Everyone needs the nutrients.
Okay, so you need the nutrients, but you also need the activities to boost that oxytocin. As you said, you can get it from petting your dog. You can get it from a walk in nature. So I think what's really hard, Mark, for people like Brent and I and our whole community, so many of these people were hugely dynamic individuals in their lives. Doctors, creators, artists, musicians, you name it. And they can't do what they used to do that brought them probably huge amounts of oxytocin. So I just want to add something here because it's something I went through, and I'm sure Brent too, because Brent was a runner, couldn't run anymore, not the same way. And for me, it was traveling. You know, I traveled with you too. My whole life I loved traveling. I loved to be on the road. And I just couldn't do it anymore. And I realized, I just in a meditation, I said, okay, I can't do these things that I love to do. So I meditated on what feeling does traveling give me. It gives me a sense of freedom. So I looked in my life, where can I have that same feeling? It doesn't have to be that activity. So I have a sense of freedom. Where do I get a sense of freedom in my life? My freedom is my quiet time. My freedom is is this choosing beautiful food. There's just so many moments where I feel I have a choice and I feel free. Is this making sense? Because I just want to, I want to give that to people. Just meditate on the feeling those things gave you, and just know that you can find that feeling in anything in your life. Making sense?
Totally does. Because a lot of times we're spending all of our time, or I know when I was sick with Lyme, I was spending all my time like researching more ways to feel better with Lyme, and it was making me more depressed and scared and sick. And what if we spend some more of that time off of that, less worrying, doing these good things, trusting that our body will pull through, and these things like eating and clearing out the pipes will work, and our normal protocols that we're working with our doctor on, and then let's spend that other time not worrying about the next super trick, magic pill out there, and doing these things we love. And that's gonna have a pretty big impact.
And doing the things you love, like getting to those feelings, you know. Again, he just wrote me, said he got knocked out. Are you back in, Mark?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good. Oh, great. So
I don't know when I fell off.
We're just talking about, did you hear the whole part about, you know, people, we're talking about doing the things you love to give you the oxytocin, to feel good in life, and that's ultimately the most healing thing you can do. But what if you are a runner? What if you are a doctor? What if you're a musician and you can't do those things anymore? What I'm suggesting
then you have to find something that will work for you.
That gives you that same feeling. That same feeling of purpose, that same feeling of connection. I think it's amazing.
So what's that underlying essence? You know, anything back to childhood or some things that I did in childhood I just loved doing, what is the essence of that? How can I translate to that to something now as an adult, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly it. Anything we do gives us a feeling. So you're a doctor, you feel purposeful, you feel like you bring relief. How can you do that in your day? How can you go to the store and bring relief and smile at somebody? You know, it's amazing what you can do in the simplest of things. I think I just want to really feel
I'm a good example. I was mountain biking and had a wonderful time mountain biking until my last mountain bike accident. And then I had about a year where I wasn't exercising because I couldn't find something, and that's when I found Zumba. So I would love to mountain bike, but after two bad accidents, I was like, you know, I don't know that I'm going to die on a mountain bike.
So
I had to work to find something that worked for me.
You know, and
am I still there?
You know, I used to produce live events, and I mean, talk about adrenaline rush and how fantastic it was. And now I get to do live events online, and it's the same, and it's just so much more suited to my life. So I just want everyone to know that those gifts that you have are translatable, if that makes sense. You know, your skills can translate into the next thing, and it's actually even more aligned with everything you've learned. Brent and I are both in that space now where everything we learned, Brent in the corporate world, you know, me and marketing and events, and, you know, we're bringing that together around healing and something we absolutely are aligned with. It couldn't be any better. Well, there's lots of hope to
it.
Now, I will add something because I've spent a lot of time since Zumba sort of turned me on. Prior to 3.5 years ago, all I listened to was National Public Radio, literally. I had no music on any of my things. I had lectures. Never listened to music, ever. And then I just happened to stumble into this thing. And now I listen to music all the time, and I've done some research on it because I'd love to be able to work with people about it. Everybody gets turned on to different music, and it's amazing what people can discover if they would just, you know, scroll through the music and find something they like. And there is good information. I spent a lot of time looking at this, that finding the music that makes you feel good, whatever it is, will raise your oxytocin.
The music's so powerful.
Preaching to the choir right here. I mean, I spent all my life going to music and worked in the music business. But what's so interesting, I just want to add to that, is music was hugely healing. But then I got to a point, Mark, the opposite of you, where I was a little musicked out, and I just reveled in the silence and how silence.
Oh, I love silence. So I would agree with you on that.
The silence, there's so much power. Once you can quiet down your mind, there's so much power in silence. And then when you get music, it's like, it's just like ecstatic, out of control. It's so amazing.
Like, like having coffee. No, I like having it for a while. You get like an extra jolt.
Yeah.
That's why I like mountain biking, because I would be on a mountain by myself and not listening to anything, and I love the quiet.
Yeah.
So I agree. Both of those things work.
There's so much available that's free. So it's we hit an hour just now and feeling really good. My oxytocin's up, connecting with you too and everybody on the call. We can feel you. I don't know. Are we going to try to take a live question, or are we wrapping? Mark, what's your time like?
I've got as much time as you need. So you want to do live questions? I'm available for anything that people want to ask.
All right, maybe we take a few. Brent, we show them.
I'll take a few. Press 2 on your phone, and it'll raise your hand, and I'll see you, and I can select you to unmute your line. So press 2 on your phone if you want to come on live, share your mind, ask some questions. Like, keep it relative to our conversation today. Don't ask about your specific antibiotic protocol, please. Get that sometime. But, you know,
we've
answered a lot of the questions, a lot of the write-ins. We answered a lot of them. We really tried to scope our call around all your questions. And, again, if they're a little off-topic, we couldn't handle them. But we have some questions here. This is great. Let's see. We got Sherry. You're on the line?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hey. Yeah. Hi Sherry.
Hey. Thanks so much for this call. It's awesome. I just kind of stumbled across it, and I'm very grateful, so thank you. My question is quick, and it's been something that's been on my mind quite a bit with regard to the buying the organic green juices out. I stopped doing that about 2 years ago because of the parasite situation. And I wondered if anyone could speak to that, because it's quite challenging to be preparing juices here, and we use peroxide, and the Green Star juicer has just gotten to the point where it's hurting my husband's shoulders too much to juice for me. So we've taken out the Breville, which is a completely different experience. Obviously, the pressed juices and the Green Star juices have the most nutrients. How can we go out into the world without fear of parasites with raw foods?
Well, I would tell you that given that I eat out a lot because of traveling, I end up making sure that my hydrochloric acid goes up and keeps it up. Because, look, there's microorganisms in every bit of live food. And, yes, you can wash your food and you can do hydrogen peroxide and you can do all that. But I find that if I'm – and it may not work for most people. But I find if I take the digestive enzymes and I keep my HCL up, I can pretty much – I don't get sick, and I'm getting juices out all the time. And I know how to do it. I've got great juicers, and I don't have the time in my life. Now, some people may find that – I try not to worry about those things. Believe me, I've obsessed and worried about more than you'll ever obsess and worry about when you know as much as I do. And I finally – I have, and I'm Jewish.
Did you say when you know as much as I do?
Oh, my God. You don't want to know all the stuff that I know. I mean, I know stuff about water. I know stuff about all this other stuff. But what I do is I think, this is what Jensen did that saved my life. He said, there's no such thing as an incurable illness. There's only incurable patients. And he didn't understand oxytocin, but he said, your attitude is everything. And so I started saying, you know what? You know, me being the classic Jewish neurotic, worrying about everything, just upsets my chemistry. And so I'm going to do as good a job as I can, and occasionally I'll get some healthy food out, and I will have a reaction. It's like, okay, I can reset myself, and I reset myself. But if you need to worry because that works for you for other reasons, and I'm not judging it, then worry and try and do the best job you can do at home. But for a lot of people, I'm going to say, keep your enzymes high and you'll probably be fine. But you may have had a couple bad reactions and attributed it to parasites, and it may not have been a parasite. It may have been something else. But I can't say that you're wrong. It's just, how do we deal with it?
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sherry. Great question. That's you know, keep it simple, you know, and enjoy your juice. And keep doing all the little things. And not even all of them, just do most, you know. And like, we're moving toward health. You're moving toward healing. As long as you're moving more toward healing than the opposite, then you're moving in the right direction.
I want to say, Sherry, because I'm one of those worriers like Mark and like a lot of you, if I'm in a state of worry and let's say I'm worried about the juice, but I know I need this juice, I need it to feel better, and you know, I get in my head about what I need, and I'm in a state of worry, I just don't do it. Because that juice, because you are in that state, just even listening to that and saying, you know what, I'm not going to take the nutrients from this juice right now because I'm too worried about it. Does that make sense? So go home and make a green soup and cook it really well. That's what I do. And then I get, when I'm in a stronger state where I'm probably less toxic, I'm not as worried. So I just would say, you know, be good to yourself about it. And because, you know, you will, like Mark said, everything shuts down when you're in that fear state. And don't judge yourself for being in that fear. Maybe tap a little bit and see if that moves it. If not, just choose something else. I say.
And just quickly, I wondered if you could tell me if, because I don't want to be fearful about these things. I am a food handler. I have been a chef for many years, and so has my husband, and we moved into veganism about 5 years ago, and a lot of raw juices and things of that nature, and we were really just loving it, but I definitely picked up some parasites, and I know about food handling, and I know how people aren't so great at it, and with that amount of volume of vegetables, I mean, it's just bound to happen that they're there. It doesn't mean that will be affected by them. But my question is, just to follow up on it, do you take the enzymes a half hour before? Do you take them right then and there as you're drinking the juice? And do you take the hydrochloric acid during, before, after? How do you feel like it might be the best strategy?
If you're talking, I assume you're talking about just drinking juices, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about no other food at the time. Yes.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you don't take HCL. If people have a true ulcer and they take HCL and they have immediate pain, then you know that it's not going to work for them. But assuming you don't, you can just take them right at the same time, and it tends to work really well. And for some people, I'm going to try and give a cheaper way. For some people, it's not perfect. But if you want to put like a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in water and drink that a little bit before you have your juices, I understand the pH changes and all like that, but if you want to do that, sometimes that is almost perfectly replicating, and I'm talking about apple cider vinegar, what, you know, that's not been processed, not been pasteurized, organic. Usually I do Paul Bragg's, but you can do any one you can find, and that will pretty much get your pH balanced. Now I'm going to give a specific example, because I definitely got a bug. I was in Hawaii. I had fish. The first bite was a little funny. It was like, oh, well, but it's a nice restaurant. The second bite, it's a little, I'm like, wait a second, maybe there's something wrong with this fish. The third bite, I held it up to my nose. Well, by then I had what's called rigors. My gut was totally roiling. And I knew I was going to have explosive diarrhea very quickly, like within about 10 minutes. And I said, bring me some vinegar, vinegar and oil. And they brought out a cruet of vinegar, a cruet of oil, and I took the vinegar and I put about an inch and a half in a glass of water. This is not apple cider vinegar. This is in a nice restaurant. I drank that down. My gut settled down in about 2 minutes. And I stopped having the rigors. I didn't have explosive diarrhea. So, you know, even if you get something really bad and you use the apple cider vinegar or any vinegar, any vinegar. Sometimes it'll turn around instantly. And I'm sure, and I've talked to many people that have used that. So it depends. And there are a few people with true ulcers that cannot do vinegar, and they know that. So I've been able to knock out bugs very quickly using that, especially when I'm traveling.
Awesome. Thank
you. Have you ever done that since you're a chef? Has the vinegar ever worked for you?
You know, oddly enough, I haven't experimented enough with it to know. I have been fearful. So for the past 2 years, I haven't been out there eating anybody's food or drinking anything. So.
You know, it's amazing.
Sorry you had that experience. Let's see if we can get it turned around for you.
Thank you.
Right. It's so interesting how, Mark, with sushi, they serve it with that hot wasabi and ginger, knowing that there's probably parasites in the fish. So that hot wasabi and the ginger is there specifically to counteract that. And so isn't it interesting, there's worry about meats and fish, and then there's worry about, you know, the raw vegetables. It's like we can't go crazy with it, you know. I'm sorry, Sherry,
I do understand when someone like her has a bad experience, because I will not eat certain foods now. Oh my God, there's certain
foods.
Yeah, I'm gonna not run down certain foods, but there's certain kinds of foods that I will not go into certain restaurants ever again, because my reactions have been two or three times in a row, and I'm like, done.
Yeah, I know, and sometimes it's not a parasite or a pathogen. Sometimes it's just the bad oils. I mean, I went out and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have this healthy thing. I ate, you know, a vegetarian thing, even though I do eat meat sometimes. But I had that, and it was it was just the bad oil. So anyway, we have tools, Sherry. That's it. We have tools. Food is we're very, very, very fortunate to live in this country and have access to good food when it's not GMOs. so we'll just focus on that stuff. Thanks for
that's absolutely right. Yeah, I think we're going to take one more caller here. Let's see, we got Ashley, you're on the line?
Yes.
Hello, Ashley. Hi.
Hi, I'm actually Ashley's mom. Her and I are listening to the show, and she is suffering from chronic Lyme disease, and she was diagnosed last year, March of 2014. And she is, we finally got a good doctor that's Lyme veteran, and she's being treated for it, but nothing seems to be helping her anxiety. She has severe anxiety and panic attacks. She can't go out anywhere, and we're just wondering if you have any suggestions or anything that we can try.
I think everything we just said, Ashley's mom. What's your name?
My name's Esther.
Okay, thank you. I think, Mark, you'd agree, just everything we talked about, releasing that toxic load, that's, you know, the gut-brain connection is everything. So we'll send you this call and a recording, so maybe listen to it again. And, Mark, do you want to add anything there?
Well, I'm assuming since they found a good doctor, they've got somebody providing care, and obviously people can look at neurotransmitters and look at how to balance them. I mean, sometimes I would tell you that minerals make a huge difference for that. And it depends on, you know, obviously if she's got anxiety, I'll bet her digestion can't be working very well. So you may have to do it in the form of supplements just to get some things in her.
Okay. All right.
And, you know, I just circle back when it reminds you, I mean, if you haven't watched all the videos and the follow-up calls in the course series, I mean, we address anxiety and trauma with Julie Schiffman and tapping. And, you know, and even Dr. Beth McDougall, we talk about the Ho'oponopono. Like, there's a lot of Paul Check. I mean, there's a lot of just talks that really kind of shift the mindset, shift the anxiety away.
And, Dietrich, I want to add Dietrich Klinghardt talking about EMFs. You know, EMF exposure can really drive that anxiety way up.
So and I would add one other thing. I've yet to see an anxiety person or a neurological person that does not have elevated copper. And I spend a lot of time in one of our calls talking about how copper elevates. and you can get a hair analysis, and the only company I like is Analytical Research, and then have someone that's qualified to interpret that. And you, if you find the elevated copper, which will also go with a low zinc level, copper tends to make the neurological system overactive. And if you can get that ratio down very carefully, a lot of times the anxiety goes down.
Okay.
Or neurological pain.
Right, and Mark, to add to that, the copper, too much copper in the body makes you more of a conductor, so the EMFs affect you even more.
Yeah, that's
exactly. I've never seen any of these symptoms not have elevated copper.
Okay,
it's all connected.
So
it's so amazing. You're welcome.
Take one more.
Yeah, I just want to add one more thing there. Thanks for that, Ashley. It's all connected, and also, you know, we talked a lot about food, and Mark's referencing other talks. Yeah, in our spring cleanse, he did a great talk on copper toxicity. We went into a lot more detail. And, you know, there's so much more to say about food and cleansing the colon. That's why we put together these cleanses. We do them seasonally, every season, four times a year. And we have groups. We take 4 to 6 weeks going through this information and, like, stepping you through, like, what to do and how to do it. And we're sharing our reactions and we're giving feedback. And we have, you know, with private Facebook groups really just supporting each other through this, because it is hard to do it alone. We have questions that come up. So we have a lot of resources in the cleanse programs when we offer those. So that's, we have a summer one coming up toward the end of the summer. If anyone is interested in the spring cleanse, we'll have a recording that we'll be offering up sometime very soon. You can email us if you're interested. And you can get, at least here, we just wrapped up doing a couple weeks ago. And they're still very relevant. So even though we just started summer, spring is still very much spring for a lot of people right now. So it'll be.
Yeah. I just want to add, make sure, Brent, that everybody knows, since we're talking about the cleanses, that this is, our cleanses are not a fast. It's not a juice fast. It's just eating really nutrient-dense food and watching our intake, watching our outtake, and really connecting with community. Back to that oxytocin piece is really, really important.
We get a lot of oxytocin. That's right.
Gosh,
Let's take one more caller. We did. It's amazing. A lot of love in those forums. Sandra, we're going to take you and one more caller, and we're squeezing in here. Hey, Sandra, you on the line?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi. My question is, one problem that I have, Lyme and chronic fatigue and all the whole basket, and I see a practitioner, I try, you know, and swear I'm going to do everything they tell me to do for however long it takes, and then about 3-4 months into it, a year into it, I'm just like, I'm looking for the next thing because it's not working, and I don't know how to tell. I mean, I'm hearing all this call, I'm like, oh, crud, I'm on the wrong path again, I got to get on a new one. And yet keeping changing paths isn't working. So do you have any suggestions?
I'm not sure why it isn't working. And I don't know, number one, I don't know what kind of practitioners you're seeing. So I can't give you much feedback about that. But Typically, and it depends on how bad, I've got some very, very ill people. Typically, people start to improve, maybe not in every domain, but they start to improve in some things. So let's say you're improving in one way or another, but you're not going further, then you may have to look for additional things. So I'm gonna give you a laundry list. I don't know who you've seen, but somebody should probably make sure that you're structured.
Well, I'm seeing a Lyme literate doctor that's supposed to be great, so.
Yeah, but most Lyme, is it an MD?
A DO.
DO, okay. Well, that starts to answer one thing. So has your DO checked your structure and checked your bite and your teeth and your jaw to make sure that's working well? Has anyone checked to make sure that your tailbone isn't off? Has anyone looked at scoliosis or potential compression of anywhere in your spine? Because I know a lot of DOs that do good structural work, but given what you're saying, somebody should at least check those things. And then you might, okay. I don't know whether you've done a hair analysis. The reason I like it, because it gives us about a 90-day average of what's going on in our body. And that's different than even when I muscle test people, where I see where they are now. But if I've got a hair analysis and I know, oh, they've been off in this way for 90 days, that tells me there's an issue that's not being addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Does that, has someone
well,
looked at
I mean,
your structure?
I see good chiropractors that, I mean, my chiropractors do like the jaw stuff and my tailbone and the scoliosis, and they do all that. And the hair analysis,
well,
I
then,
had one, but it's been a long time.
No, I would consider that. And I know tons of chiropractors, so you might consider, which part of the country do you live in?
Colorado,
okay. Boulder?
Just north of Boulder.
In a small. Okay, great. Find a chiropractic neurologist there. Find someone that does chiropractic neurology, and there's a couple of really good people, or in Denver. I used to live in Boulder in Denver. I taught at the massage school. So
I've
see if you can find a chiropractic.
Shane Stedman, and he's a chiropractic
oh,
neurologist.
Good. Then he's doing his job. Then that is sort of out of the question. So then you have to look at other variables and see why you're still not making the progress. If you want
to,
if you want
to
find
your other thing the other day, it was like on detox, and I think that could be huge.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to ask Sandra how everything we talked about today. How are you doing with all these things, all the foundational pieces? How are you doing there?
You know, I've spent a lot of time trying to be perfect and doing everything, and I'll just say right now I ended up getting C. diff from the antibiotics, and I've been through a real low place, and I just don't have the energy to do it right now. I just, like, get out of bed, go to the bathroom, go back to bed. I mean, that's where I'm living right now.
Right, so you're not able to get enough of the good food and
not right now. I have for months and months and years on end, but not right now.
Okay. Well, C. diff is really, C. diff is hard. So obviously, you've hit a rough patch, and we have to find some way to get you to people that'll support you to get through it.
And Sandra,
I was wondering if homeopathy to what I'm already doing would help. I mean, my doctor does use homeopathic remedies.
Yeah, I teach mostly homeopathy, and I like it because it's gentle and it does tend to move people forward. So I think that's. You're leaning on my favorite tool, so I would do that and possibly find someone that's really good with certain kinds of lasers, and sometimes you can turn things around very quickly. I combine the homeopathy and the lasers together in the same treatment, and I get really good results.
Which kind of lasers?
Well, it depends on what you have. I've got five different companies' lasers, and I tend to use what works for the person. So see what you can find. See what your chiropractor has and see what's available to you.
Yeah, my chiropractor that works on my skeletal system has a cold laser therapy. Is that the kind you're talking about? Okay.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
And Sandra, just to add something, Sandra, just get whatever, emotional, spiritual support you can. That's sometimes a huge missing piece. I can hear in your voice, you sound really tired, and a little defeated. So whatever you can do to get your spirits up, just all that stuff we talked about.
My family is really tired of me being sick. And so it's really stressing me out right now because I don't know what to do about it.
I know, sweetie, I know. Remember that you have a lot of control just by, calming your own system, by talking to your system. It's okay. They don't mean it. They're just a little burnt out, and they're often scared of their own health issues. It's what we've discovered. So just find that touch point for you. There's lots of help around. I'd really love you to get in our next cleanse and get into that private Facebook group. There's tons of support there. So I hope you join us in that.
When does it start?
Late August. It starts late August, but in the meantime, I would really encourage you to listen to the course series videos. Like Brent said, Beth McDougall talks about changing the fluid matrix in your body by your thoughts and how powerful it is to connect in. We really hesitate to say think positively because that's total BS when you're feeling sick. But connecting it because it's like really, really, no, not possible right now. But actually we talk about going right to the pain and say, practicing this Ho'oponopono where you say, to your body, I love you. I'm sorry. Forgive me for being in this stress state and not trusting you. Thank you for showing me what needs to heal. Just talk to your body, because so often we disengage from our body, and that's the worst thing to do. Is that making any sense? So find those ways. I really encourage you to listen to Beth McDougall. I think that can really help you right now. Okay.
All right.
Hang in there, sweetie.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you, Sandra. All right.
Wow, guys. We did it again. It was
That was a solid
Thank
call.
You, Mark.
That was beautiful.
You're welcome. We're happy to do it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, everyone, for showing up today on your Saturday, feeling your presence, and so happy we can connect. Thank you, Brent. So fun being on this journey with you. And you, Mark, gosh, you're just our faculty member now. It's so great. We're we're helping people, and it feels really good. So thank you, everyone.
Well, I feel
Brent,
blessed.
You're gonna...
I feel blessed to be able to work with you guys, because you guys are taking territory. I want people to know out there, I talk to a lot of practitioners, and one of the things that you are doing better than anyone I've ever seen is you're not taking sides. You're not a raw foods addict. You're not advocating a thing. You're trying to get people to listen to themselves and know there's a broad range of tools, and all those tools might have some value depending on you finding the appropriate one. So I think that your approach to giving people the broadest background is great, and I support it 100%.
So wonderful.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, so much of that is your wisdom with us. So awesome, guys. We'll do this again soon. Everyone look out for the recording, and check out the course series and our upcoming cleanse.
We have a lot of information there for you and a lot of healing, so get in there with us.